said, there's no way I'm going home this round. Impossible. And who's going home? Grandpa Monster. My heart. The moment I decided I cared, life was like, nah.
Like a carny today. Like she could be a step right up. Three balls for $5 or seven balls. Why does she look like a carny, dude?
Like, yo, I'm sorry. Just do. She just does.
Y'all, you're being funny right now. I want to open the show, but I'm eating. I'm eating my breakfast.
None of this is being used?
No, we probably should
we use
it?
I'm eating a croissant. I'm eating a croissant with eggs. All right, there's just a lot going on because we opened the show. It's my birthday. It's my birthday by the time you're watching this episode. It's my birthday. I'm 26 years old. I'm an April Fool. I'm a cosmic joke. I think more importantly, today, the day we're shooting, Tuesday, is Caleb's birthday.
Let's go!
Happy birthday, Caleb.
Happy birthday, Caleb.
Caleb runs Impulsive behind the scenes, Impulsive Clips. Yay! He films Impulsive. He does everything Impulsive. He sent us a cold email and got the job. He's always been incredibly impressive at doing what he does. And this show would not be possible without him. So happy birthday, Caleb.
Happy birthday, bud.
Happy birthday, brother.
Welcome back to Impulsive, the number one podcast in the world. Yeah, I feel good today. 26 years old. This age thing is not stopping. It's okay. Yeah.
You look good. Yellow's always been your color.
Okay. You get me a gift this year?
Absolutely fucking not.
Oh my God.
I'm not even say happy birthday to you, bro.
Did you give me a gift?
No. You're the worst person to give gifts to.
I don't need them.
I think it's beyond that.
I think it's just a happy birthday and like take you to dinner and just call it a day.
You don't even need to take me to dinner. I'd actually prefer just like leave me alone. I have severe PTSD being born on April Fool's. When I was young, I thought it was so cool, right? I was like 8 years old. I found out that April Fool's is the day you do pranks. So I decided to adopt and acknowledge that as my thing. It's my day. I'll play the pranks. So for 2 years, I did it. No, I did it.
Oh, yeah.
And then I got old. Like I grew up. I was like, I don't really care about this. And then everyone started fucking with me. Like I became the butt of all the jokes. And every year for the past like literally decade, my birthday has been the worst day of the entire year.
Yeah.
Yep. I've literally witnessed 8 of them.
And it's so weird because it's like this weird, like the universe is like, ha, nah, I don't think so. And also, hot take.
Oh, shit. I careful with the hot takes, man.
I love the celebration of life and making it yet another 365 days on this beautiful planet, but just feels like a participation award. Just feels like a... Just like an obligatory, like I didn't choose to be born on this day. I had nothing to do with it. Like my parents deserve the award, if anything. Like let me give them a fucking a gift for putting up with my horse shit. I'll tell you what. You want to give me a gift on my birthday? Go grab yourself some Logan Paul coin. Go grab yourself some Logan Paul coin. It'll benefit you and me.
what are you being said on BitCloud? You doing? Are you making that announcement?
Am I talking about BitCloud?
I don't know. What are you talking about?
I'm just saying, like, maybe if my coin hits 100K, I'll tell y'all who Satoshi is.
Who's Satoshi?
Well, if my coin hits 100K, maybe I'll tell you.
Oh my God, this kid's full of surprises.
BitCloud, it's hot. It's hot on the market right now.
Satoshi's the guy who gave me my pizza at the airport.
What tab I have.
Oh, I found out who Satoshi was. And, no? Okay, never mind. Maybe. But yeah, BitCloud, did you confirm your account?
So I didn't, but, and I was going to, and I had people telling me that I should, and I haven't yet, but now that you're making this announcement on a show that comes out third, I'm gonna do mine now, like right after the show's done filming.
Are you really?
100%.
Okay, because there's a lot of speculation around this project.
Yeah, I know.
It's a combination of this really what kind of looks shady, but could be legit blockchain platform where basically you can invest cryptocurrency into creators, personalities, influencers, entertainers, as if they're stocks. And as someone who's in the space, it looks like an exciting project. And what's more, so surprisingly, there are so many big investors and funds and venture capitalists behind the project.
Everybody.
I think that's why.
Sequoia.
Yeah.
What's it called? The main one? Big fucking.
Coinbase.
Coinbase.
Coinbase is fucking behind it. Dude,
Coinbase is behind it.
Yo, Alexis Ohanian. Founder of Reddit.
A lot of heat too. They're getting sued by people.
Yo,
saying, yo, you can't use my name and likeness.
15,000 top Twitter accounts, name and likeness being used essentially to promote this platform. The issue is it's a blockchain platform. It's just code. Who are you going to sue?
Yeah.
Who are you going after?
There's not even a customer service agent that you could call to let them know that you forgot your seed phrase.
Which
they don't exist.
Don't forget your seed phrase. Yeah, it's super interesting, and there's a lot of hype behind it. The problem with it right now, which is why I haven't yet confirmed my account and why I think I'm going to kind of hold off and also, I mean, I'm holding off-ish. Like, I will say I've invested.
You also got to claim your coin. You probably got a couple hundred thousand worth of Logan Paul coins, because them shits is heating up, bro. You as a person is heating up. You're a wrestler. We got a lot of stuff to talk about today. A dancer.
Oh, Masked Singer? Holy shit. I just got revealed on Masked Singer doing WWE, Floyd Mayweather show. Yeah, like, it'd be smart to invest in my coin. That's the idea. But I wanna make sure it's, you know, I wanna be comfortable verifying and validating that it is indeed a thing. Because the issue right now is you cannot withdraw.
You can't withdraw,
which isn't super atypical of a startup companies in crypto. There's what's called a lockup period, and that's what this is.
Is that what they're calling it on BitCloud as well? Because the lockup period usually applies to like ICOs and shit where you can't sell because you're involved in an initial offering. But this seems a little, I don't know what the fuck's going on with this particular, I wish we had a Bitcoin expert at the house.
I wish we only knew someone who knew something about cryptocurrency.
Nah, we ain't calling you on. Don't
I've been sitting here talking about BitCloud. There's so many things we got to cover. It's such an exciting week. This was an emergency podcast episode.
Yeah, that little hair in front of you.
Thank you. I appreciate
it. Your coin's going up, and I feel like this is a good parlay. Don't buy my coin. My coins, I suck, bro.
I'm going to buy your coin.
No, I will. As a human, as an influencer, I'm plummeting, bro. I got COVID. I disdained and saddened my friend.
Well, you're just dipping, again. And that's the time to buy.
Thank you. I needed that, George. Thanks.
You said buy the Mike Mailat coin because it's dipping.
Yeah, it's dipping.
No, dude, I'm not going to lie. Look, Cloud's cool. It's cool. But it's cool.
Wow, I love when you get philosophical on us.
I'm going to tell you something real deep.
It's cool.
Cloud's cool, man. Nah, I looked and I think my coin was number 10.
Yeah, you're up there.
Which, like, I don't know. While I try to convince myself like that I don't care, like, I gotta be honest, I feel cool, bro. Like, I feel
when you're top 10 in anything, it's great.
Well, just because I've been like doing so much strategic work behind the scenes and forward facing, and I like to consider myself an industry innovator and a trailblazer of sorts, and it's just cool to see your work like being recognized in that way. I've been sitting here with this egg croissant in front of me.
Yeah, eat some.
Well, I can't, bro, you know how I feel about greasy hands.
Yeah, you dab me up, bro. And you can still see it glistening on my hand.
This isn't going to do.
No, but just give it a shot.
It's not going to do.
You know what you wish you had? Probably something moistened. A moistened towel. You know towelettes? They're not even towels. They're moistened like a towelette. That's what you need.
It's not going to work. I need to cut the show and wash my hands.
Splish splash it. Splish splash it.
I have to wash my
hands. Wait, just get hand sanitizer.
I can't. I need soap and water.
Hey, listen here, Carney. I'm not interested in trying to knock the milk bottles over, right? And I ain't going to try to climb your weird fucking ladder either.
Is there an ad maybe we can do while he's washing his
hands? Nah, he's fine. Listen. We got let's talk. I want to hear from you a little bit, George. Let's not even cut. Let's just talk for a sec. Crazy couple weeks.
Yep.
Didn't even think we're going to be filming another episode before Logan left on his adventure, on his journeys.
Yep.
Here we are. We got a lot to address. We got David Dobrik. Who knows if we get into it today? It's like a lottery today. We don't know what numbers are going to be called. Mike Mailak and Logan Paul warring at odds yet again over someone's stupid, fat, fucking big old mouth.
Who was that?
Dumb shit, me. We got fucking Logan Paul wrestling, dancing. The big question at this point is, what can't this man do? And so, George, I asked you today here on Impulsive, as the third co-host of one of the most beautiful, organic, and special programs on this planet, what do you want to start with today, George?
You know what? I think we should start with some negative things, so that way at the end we could be
nice,
cleaned.
Good choice.
So let's start with, let's get into something that hasn't to do with you guys dick riding.
I'll tell you.
Let's go into the David Dobrik thing.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. You just really took a pivot. fucked us there. And,
well, you know, because people are most likely going to be listening to this podcast for your, you know, your situation you got going on. I don't want to jump in and, you know, the click rate. I don't want them to click
out. Do you see what he's doing? He's saying something and then completely going elsewhere.
I don't know
elsewhere.
What he's doing anymore. I gave him a fucking, like, you know, the guy in volleyball that sets the person they're supposed to spike
it. Bump it,
I don't know what happened.
You know, it feels good like to be on the table again, you know, like you two versus me. I'm going to miss this. You say the joke with the arm. Go ahead.
Well, no, because you people at home should know y'all at home should know pre-show jokes generally of mine hit. He came to the show armed, and I said to him, how dare you come to the show fucking armed? And now it's just not as funny, dude. And you try to serve it up to me.
Mike and I... Mike,
make sure you guys get his coin Mike, right now while it's hot.
Mike and I had... We had some issues this past week. He called me a dick rider on Keemstar's podcast.
Why are we even on Keemstar's podcast?
So that's the thing. That's where my problem was. He said he was going on. I said, you already did it once, you know.
Oh, this is your second time?
I said, you really got to go? He's like, Banks called it a favor. Banks called it a flavor. So I was like, okay, you know what? I understand. I like Banks. I get how favors work with friends.
Recently.
I get it. I like Banks.
Yeah.
And obviously. And then he goes on. He says I was dick riding. He said I was trying to ride Harry Styles' dick. Because the dress thing, you remember how that went, right?
All finished and you went back there and you're like, actually, I don't give a fuck about that. I'm just trying to start some shit. I'm kidding.
You're bad. Hey, you're bad.
I'm kidding.
You weren't supposed to do that. You did that. That was bad.
No, so
you fucking
that was the narrative that Mike
that never happened.
Then why are you telling people it did, you son of a bitch?
Fine. Go ahead, sorry. Continue with your context.
No, that was it. I felt like your interpretation of how I really like actually felt about that situation was so far from the truth.
Yeah, it was fucked. It was chalk.
And I was confused why it was said in the way it was on a podcast where I'm not even sure why you were there.
Well,
it hurt me.
I know that. And I apologized offline to you. We've talked about it at length. I did the podcast because Banks asked me to. As a friend, he said, yo, we need a guest for our first podcast. I said, let's do it. I treaded and waded into waters that could drown me and they did. And you know, I got comfortable, made a remark that just fell completely flat and just hit in a way that I didn't intend for it to. And you know, listen, this big mouth of mine, bro. I've learned that it's a gift and a curse. It really is.
It gets you in trouble, Mikey.
It does. And it creates beauty. And it creates death. It's a double-edged sword. And in this instance, it was something I said that I wish I hadn't. And you know, you live, you learn, you move on.
You also
try to. I think the big learning for this one for me was just being a little bit more cautious at when and where I say shit. I've made jokes or
I'm gonna make
takes.
This so simple
yeah,
for you.
Yeah.
Just tell the truth. Don't
well, hold
lie.
On a sec.
Don't lie.
Well, hold on a sec.
If you would have gone on,
I think I misinterpreted you. You really hammered it home afterwards, which was that, yo, like, I don't know if we got our signals crossed, but I honestly do feel the way I feel about the Harry Styles situation, and you really hammered it home.
Well, dude, I called George because I wanted an objective opinion about it because he was here, and I said, yo, when I made my take about the Harry Styles situation on the podcast, did you think I was doing that to gain some sort of positive public sentiment?
Yeah.
And he said, on the podcast, I wasn't sure.
At first, yeah.
I wasn't sure. And then afterwards, when we ended and you kept during our debrief talking about it, he said, I knew you like actually felt
that
way.
Yeah, so maybe I just didn't pick, I don't know. Maybe I didn't pick up on it as much. I talked to some other people about it after the fact. I hit up some other creators after this last one. I talked to Andrew Scholes and I think there's people like me, a little bit closer to me that he was like, yo, you said something on a podcast that got people talking. It was entertaining. Like, what's the problem? And I was like, that's kind of how I look at it too. I think I just need to be a little bit more sensitive and a little bit more open to the fact that people take shit very seriously. That was a very important topic too. That got a lot, that made a lot of noise, made a lot of people talk. And to you, it was a very important topic. And I think I toyed with it. Like it was just some joke, you know, or just some little thing. And
there's like
a few.
Thank you.
I am sorry. And you know that. And I do need to do a better job. And that's all. And that's all I can do, you know.
But please just please stop fucking up with me, bro. Please. Yeah. That's because that's the issue. Everyone's like, well, it's just one thing on a podcast. No, this is like strike four. Except yeah. I'm such a, I fucking love you, you scumbag. And that's the issue. That's the issue.
It's another thing that I've learned too. It's crazy. And it's something that that needs to be really thought of and talked about, man. It's wild how no matter how many good deeds you do, it just takes one or two or three or four.
Trust takes forever to build and 1 second to destroy.
It's crazy.
Just the way it is.
Yeah.
It's the way it is.
Well, it did not go unnoticed. As you know, it was an added blow to a week of mine that was honestly one of the tougher weeks that I've had in the past decade.
You want to talk about that at all? You got COVID, which sucks.
I got COVID.
So anything after that is like some sort of like compound exponential effect.
I'm still dealing with the after effects of it. I'm, you know, like I've been cleared.
You smell?
I can't really smell that well. I can't really taste that well. I'm hot. I'm probably going to start sweating. I'm already sweating, to be honest with you. I feel like shit. COVID is not a joke. You guys both had it, right?
Yeah.
Is that?
I realized I can go without the smell. No problem. No problem. I swear to God. The illness sucks, dude. The illness sucks. Taste was unnerving. I didn't like that. It felt weird that I couldn't tell what was in my mouth. Yeah. Although my palate was expanded because I wasn't afraid to eat anything. Like I was trying things I never thought I'd like.
Booty?
Like boot. I was eating butt. I was eating some butt, dude. but yeah, the smell, what do I need to smell?
Yeah,
more things smell bad than they smell good.
Like farts. Yep.
Nobody walks in the. Yep.
The amount of time I took extreme advantage of that situation, dude.
Yep. Yeah, we know.
And also encourage everyone around me. I was like, y'all gotta let it rip. Go for it. Do your worst.
And you gotta reconsider when you get your nose back because I did, and I farted, and it was the day that I got my smell back, and I literally just apologize to everyone. I was just like, this is what I've been doing to you guys. I go, that's fucked up. Yeah. Nobody, you should voice your opinions.
You become desensitized to the odor of your own farts.
Like, I was like, ha ha. And then just immediate nose bleeding. Yeah. I was like,
nose bleeding.
Just starts pouring.
Just putrid.
Just gross.
Toxic.
Gross. Hey, low key, this is going to be really gross, but did anybody like try to smell really dirty things to see if they could smell it or no?
What are you talking about?
Never mind. Move past it.
Well, just give me one thing.
Just move past it.
I'd like to know one thing.
Just move past it.
You just smelled something. You what smelled you something smell vile.
All right, I'll throw it at you guys. I had a nice coffee in the morning, and I was like, oh, I got a shit.
George.
I just threw it down, and before I flushed, I go, I can't smell. And I looked at it, and it looked bad. So I just kind of stood there, and I was like...
Wait, how close did you get? You didn't just...
No, I didn't put my fucking head in it.
Nah, I'm not buying it.
I did.
I'm just kidding.
No, I just stood there and I was like, well, I'm looking at this disgrace that came out of me. I don't even want to be a part of it anymore. I honestly felt really good about flushing because I felt like I removed this part of me that I don't want. And I'm looking at that. I go, I can't smell or identify how bad this is. So I called my girlfriend and I was like, hey, is this terrible? And before she even got to the door, she goes, yes. Flush that shit. Let's never talk about this again. And so I literally flushed that shit down the drain. And yeah. By the way, has your guys' smell changed? Because like things that I loved the smell of before, I tend to like.
So that's what I'm noticing now. So I'm just coming out of it now. And, you know, I'm still dealing with a lot of like nausea and just like very like my stomach's. You just spilled shit all over yourself. just fucking spilled shit everywhere. nausea and things that I, like you just said, the things that I loved, like are tasting weird. And there were so many differing reports on COVID. There were so many differing reports on like, it's how severe it was. And some people were like, yo, it's nothing. It's a walk in the park. And other people were like, yo, I got it. And it's lasted months. Mm. And I have to say it has really, really, really fucked me up, dude. Like, I'm fucked up.
You know
dude.
Why I think it fucked you up the most?
Older people.
Because I'm older.
Nope.
Why?
Remember that girl you were flying in from Costa Rica?
Oh, yeah. That's a touchy topic, too, man. Yeah. We can talk about it. Yeah. I had this girl that I was flying in. I was going to shoot content with. It was the first time I ever.
First time.
It's the first time I had
ever. Of talk he had. The amount of pictures he showed, DM'd us.
Oh, look at this
he
girl.
He made me FaceTime my mom so she could see this guy. He did everything and then he was in his bed. I have to go out. I can't smell her.
I turned to Spanish.
And she's like, I'm going to go hang out with this dude.
No, stop, please. Be careful with how you discuss it, dude.
She was, this girl was gorgeous. I didn't think Mike could do better after Lana. I swear to God, I like the guy. But come on, Lana's the best he's ever going to get.
We thought it was a fluke. We thought it was just a glitch in the Matrix.
Evidently not.
Nope.
He found this girl right from Costa Rica. So, you know, he flew her out here.
The first time I'd ever paid to fly a girl out just because we live in sunny Los Angeles. There's so many beautiful women here. Why would you ever do that? And I said, I'll fly her out and we'll shoot some YouTube content together. It'll be a fun time. Get to know each other. And
Matt comes down with COVID.
A few days before she flew in, man, I got fucking COVID, bro.
So guess what she did? She still came.
Yeah.
Guess where she's with? Where she's at? Where? Not here. Yeah. She's with our friend Harith Chowsis.
She saw him at the
club. Wait, why does he get to fucking say the name and
because
I can't?
Because I'm trying to be careful and all around the topic. But
now she's too hot for you to handle?
No, now she's back.
No, come back. Please. Mike,
he's sweating. I didn't know if you wanted to talk about it. I just think, what's she gonna do? She's here, dude. That's how the city works. If you don't devote your attention to something unique, one of a kind, rare, she's gonna be swooped up.
Send her.
Did you send her an invoice?
No, because she saw him out. I mean, listen, here's the deal, man. It just didn't work out. Life goes on. You sweat. You live.
Does
you
it?
Learn.
Does is it gonna go on?
Dude, or is just, that, is this it's it, just Michael? Another thing, man. Tacked on, bro. It's just been a really tough week. And honestly, I gotta say, dude, as the guy that's always out there spreading that message to keep going and to like keep that light going and try to get through tough times, man. I needed people to reach out to me this past week, and it was weird when the guy that's always holding his hand out is fucking drowning, bro. Just like with his hand out, like, yo, please. And this obviously was a little thing. I know, you know,
Harry, please.
Yeah.
Harry, never.
But honestly, bro, it just was I feel like I aged 20 years in the past, you know, 14 days. And, you know, there's a topic that I'm not really touching on. Lost a very good friend of mine. And I hate to turn the fucking topic, dude, but I do want to mention this. Mike Crocky, the first kid that I was friends with when I started to turn my life around, and somebody that had a massive, massive meaning in my life. Probably easily the closest person that I've ever had pass away in my life. Absolute beautiful heart, soul, viewer of Impulsive, you know, huge fan of all three of us, and a very close friend of mine in a motorcycle accident. Suddenly, no goodbye, no chance to say I love you and thank you for, you know, what you did for me in my life, and just absolute fucking tragedy. It was another thing that was layered into this past couple weeks for me, and having to deal with that in isolation and in my bed by myself without being able to go and see people and talk about it. It's been tough. And so to both of you guys, to everybody else that reached out, like, you know, family members, friends, creators, that was honestly what got me through. And I posted about it. Saying basically in life, people should spend less time thinking, yo, is there a shit storm coming to my life? Is there a day coming where everything gets shaken up? Is there a day coming where everything in my life that I had planned falls apart and the cards get rocked and I'm sitting there in a bad place? stop thinking about when that's happening or if that's happening and start thinking about when that's happening, because the rainstorm does come. And I think it's important that people prepare themselves for it and try to find out and know exactly what they're going to do when that day comes and be prepared physically, mentally, and emotionally to weather that storm.
I think there's a lot of power in acceptance and surrendering.
Yeah.
That's always helped me. Kind of when life is beating you up time and time and time again, and you really do feel defeated. I've had no problem accepting defeat, acknowledging where I am, and letting life play out as it will. Honestly, it's like, maybe this is a horrible, ill-timed analogy, but you hear the stories about people getting into car accidents, you know, drunk driving accidents, and the people who are either like passed out or extremely intoxicated who don't brace for impact, right? The limp body just like goes, they're the ones who survive.
Yeah.
It's always the one who's always the most fucked up who survives. Yeah. And I think there's a level of power and surrender and acceptance. And I imagine this week was like that for you, where you hit a level where you feel like you just ran into a wall and kind of just look around and time will go on and time is not your friend, but it also is your friend because time will heal all wounds eventually. So if you could just find a way to pass the time and not go too stir crazy trapped up there in the room.
It was tough. I mean, now I'm out and tested out and everything's good. But it's just mentally, like, it really did take a toll on me, dude. It's wild how a week or two of very unfortunate things can set you into a bad mental state, you know? And I think it'll probably take me a month to crawl back out, but, yeah. Yeah. We're still here. We're still kicking. You know, that's all that matters. You just keep going.
We interrupt this program to bring you a word from our sponsors. Got a new one today. Geology, men's skincare reinvented. A simple skincare routine formulated for daily use. The product set is great for both individuals new to skincare and seasoned skincare experts. Take their 30 seconds diagnostics quiz and they'll formulate a regimen that provides the benefits your skin needs the most. They reduce dark and puffy eyes, fight acne, and keep oily skin under control. Could use this in high school, college, probably even now. Protect your skin and reduce fine lines and wrinkles. Start with the complete trial set. The products work best as a set, so start with a 30-day trial of all four products. Everyday Face Wash, Vital Morning Face Cream, Repairing Night Cream, and Nourishing Eye Cream. Continue with 90-day supplies of the products you love most. Subscribe and save, or go a la carte. You are in total control. Here's the CTA. Click the link in the description. Head over to Geology's website. Take their free skincare quiz and save up to 40% off when purchasing your first trial set. Plans starting at just $20. Save up to 40% on your first purchase. The link for that is in the description. Back to the program.
Speaking of going, I don't know.
You could go anywhere with that.
Anywhere. Let's talk about Masked Singer.
Masked Singer. Oh,
crazy. Crazy.
Ooh. So we actually haven't seen my reveal episode yet. It comes out tomorrow. So I don't know what they cut during my reveal and what they left in. I kind of wanted to like be able to navigate based on that, because we after they took my mask off, yes, I'm Grandpa Monster, little fucking orange marshmallow. That's me. And by the way, forever, for the rest of my life now, people will know me as Grandpa Monster before Logan Paul and maybe even before Jake Paul.
Never.
But I had a lot of fun on the show. Yeah, we had a 10-minute debrief after, because the one judge, Nicole, guessed that I was Jake. And that hurt.
Wait, really?
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, I had to, again, I don't know if they kept this in there, but I had to like be like, you know, I'm Logan. And she's like, yeah, but one of the clues was like fighter, you know, and like your brother Jake is fighting Mayweather. And I was like, no.
Oh, shit. She really?
No.
She really?
I go, Nicole. That's me. Is that how you got rigged? You got, that's me. And then I said, Logan. And then I said, America, camera, like zoom in. I said, Logan, please. Like, this ends here, please, on Masked Singer. The number one show on television, by the way. I didn't realize how big this show, and it's awesome. And so the whole show was exciting.
It was actually quite fun to watch. I will agree. I thought it would be weird, my buddy jumping around in a mascot suit singing. But it was actually really fun to watch.
Yeah, the first episode, my performance we saw in Arizona.
Yep.
At your house. And I actually didn't hate it. Because mind you, dude, I'm not a singer, right?
I beg to differ, bro. You performed your... I thought he was lip singing. I dead ass was like, God, bullshit. There's no way. But he's been out and about... Can I talk about this for a second? So... This motherfucker has all this crazy shit going on. Like, and obviously there's a lot of things I can't talk about on camera, but he's a lot of things behind the scene. But then there's one thing we can't talk about. I go, what the fuck is so important? Mind you, I know a lot of shit that's happening. I go, what the fuck? He found aliens. Like, there's something, there's new crypto, there's something. He's leaving the house. Danny's like, can't tell you where he's going. But he's going to be gone for an hour and a half. And when he gets back, he's going to be very tired. I was like, what the fuck? What the fuck is he doing? He come back and he would give me this look right here. Look, right. This is me, the camera. And this is Logan. Logan, what are you doing? I go, what the fuck is he doing? So finally, I broke it out of him. Masked Singer. I go, what the fuck does that even mean? Because I don't even know about the show. Then in Arizona, we watch this. I go, this motherfucker was rehearsing his ass
off.
Yo,
you have no idea. Yo, I got in a little tiff with the production crew at one point. I
didn't think we were going to talk about this.
Right. Dude, because so they had me on Masked Dancer first.
Yes.
I went to, yeah. It's the spinoff.
Are you allowed to tell that?
Yeah, I'm allowed to, I think. I don't fucking know.
I don't think so.
I don't know. They had me on it. I went to one rehearsal. I was like, oh, yeah, I can't dance. And I hate this. I don't like any of it. So I called my team. I was like, hey, like, I don't want to do this. I'm so sorry. Like, take your money back. I don't want it. If you get Singer, I'll do Masked Singer or whatever. Then we finally got it. So I'm excited. I picked my songs. First song, Mambo number 5. Don't ask.
No.
Wait, you picked it? Did you pick that song?
So sort of. They gave me a list and I thought it'd be fun.
So don't ask. You fucking chose it.
Dude, okay. Because I had to rely on my energy and like the kind of talk singing of the song and not like my ability to perform vocally.
Got it.
And I knew that. Like I was going to try to be like the fun character, which I think I was. Because vocally, yo, I don't know if you guys are watching the show, but there's like real singers on the show. There's real artists on the show. Like, I don't know. It's not fair. They're actually like really talented people. Every morning I sit in my trailer waiting to do my song and Black Swan is next to me. So if you're not following the show, Black Swan, I don't know who it is yet.
That's another thing. He doesn't know who the other people are. Nobody knows.
No one knows.
It's a very kept secret.
I'll tell you about the anonymous nature of the show in a sec. But yeah, so Black Swan was my trailer neighbor. There was Black Swan, Chameleon, Piglet, Phoenix, who turned out to be Caitlyn Jenner. And I had no idea. And Black Swan was right next to me. Our trailers are back to back. And every morning, this girl... is hitting the most beautiful riffs I've ever heard in my life, dude. I'm sitting there,
angelic.
I'm like, dude, I'm like, I'm fucked.
Yeah.
Why am I here?
Is Ariana Grande?
I don't know. It sounded like her. She sang Barracuda, and she's hitting these riffs and warming up, and I'm sitting there like, yo, if I like sing for 1 second, I'll lose my voice.
Tori Kelly.
I don't know.
It has to be. I'm calling it. I heard riff. That girl sneezes riffs.
Barracuda is not usually a song known for
riffs.
It's angelic.
We're going down, 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 down. And she just add like little riffs, and her voice was so beautiful. And I was like, okay, I'm screwed. And also, like, I think I know who Chameleon is, the other contestant. Like, it's a heated season, and so I'm like, I'm terrified. I knew I'd have to rely on my energy, and so back to the little tiff. I go to rehearsals one day. And they're like, yeah, we're doing choreography today. I said, no problem. Sure. Like, I'm Grandpa Monster. I'm in a suit. Obviously, my mobility is restricted. My visibility is extremely restricted.
How much could you see?
Dude, nothing. And my monocle fogged up when I would move around because it would get hot in there. So my monocle would fog up. I couldn't see anything. And so they put me through for Mambo number 5, like a full choreographed dance. We're there for like an hour and a half, and I'm like slowly like, oh, I've made yet another career mistake in deciding to be on this show. I'm not having fun because I'm not good at this. Like, I can't do this. And I gotta say, the crew are so positive. And thank God. Like
you came home one night after this thing, and it was the same for us. Like, you know, Danny was like, oh, he's coming home from Project X or whatever the fuck, you know, they were calling it here. And he comes home and I hear him stomping around his room, and I go in there and I'm like, bro, what's going on in here? And he's like, man, fuck this. I can't do this. It's Masked Singer, but they got me trying to do this fucking intricate dance routine dressed up as this fucking monocle guy. Like, and he sounded like he was positive, dude, that he wasn't gonna make it, man.
No.
So like, wait, what happened? He was, wow, I'm so intrigued.
So no, I told him. I said, hey guys, I stopped him. I took off my mask. I go, and I went into like boxer mode a little bit.
Oh, you swung with your left hand at everybody?
you know, you see the horror stories about the talent like freaking out. I didn't freak out, but like I definitely exercised like being the talent for a second. I said,
well,
yo.
You're a diva?
Yes.
On Mass Singer?
Yes.
Oh my God. Yes. That guy?
I said, yo, let's be honest. I'm not doing this dance. I can't do this dance. I'm not having fun. You gotta come up with a workaround. Like I don't like this at all. And so, you know, they're like, no, you're doing great. Like, I promise it works, whatever. And I realized like I could either just continue being a bitch about the situation or just like do the best I can. And I chose that option. And I thought I was gonna get out in the first round. I was positive. I was gonna come home. My friends were gonna make fun of me for losing something again, like immediately.
No, we're still making fun of you. Please don't take that off the table.
Wait till you see who's on this season. Seriously, like,
you know,
I have an idea. I think
so.
I,
you don't even know. So wait to see what's on.
I'm positive.
Don't fucking tell us what to do.
And so, yeah, I performed. This is me, the Grandpa Monster.
I can't believe.
So look, I performed Mambo Number 5, and I was like, you know what? I did my personal best. Whatever happens, happens. I made it past the first round. So now I come home and I'm stoked. I actually have a video here and a phone call, evidently, too, about me immediately after I performed the first round. I want to play this clip here. This was right after I performed Mama Number 5. Danny, is the audio on? Do you know?
Yo, I'm shaking. I'm actually so excited right now. The first round of Masked Singer just ended and I did not get eliminated finally. I didn't lose something immediately. I'm like literally like nervous right now. I can't believe it. I just want to thank everyone for bringing me on this show. Thank my mom and dad for having me and birthing me. This show means everything to me. I would drop everything in my life for this show. And I just want to make it all the way to the finals and do the best as I can. All right, bye.
So, like, hey, why were they hysterically laughing?
We're having their back
because they're very positive.
We're having fun.
Yeah,
the whole cast was incredible.
You look like a fireman, by the way.
Was there a feeling of liberation being anonymous?
Yeah, for sure. It's a great question. But let me talk about the psyche of absolutely hating this show, not giving a crap about it, making it past the first round. Suddenly, it's the only thing I care about in the world. I loved it. I was like, I did it, and I'm going all the way. Cause fucking Robin Thicke was like, yo, you're going all the way, man. And I was like, all right. Robin Thicke said so.
There's probably some blurred lines.
I'm going to hit you with the Air 5 for that one.
So I go to perform my next song, Bad Reputation. And I literally told the producers, I go, this is my song. Vocally, I can nail it. It's a fun like rock song. I don't give a damn about my reputation. And then also lyrically, like, I had a bad reputation. Some people still think I do. You know, it's subjective.
Uh-huh.
and the performance is great. I freaking blow up dynamite at the end of the performance. And sure enough, I go out there and I felt like I nailed it. My voice cracked once. I go out there, I felt like I nailed it. And you know, the judge's feedback was fantastic. And I told the producers in my post performance interview, said, there's no way I'm going home this round. Impossible. Fuck it. And who's going home? Grandpa Monster. My heart. My heart. The moment I decided I cared, life was like, nah.
How many people were left at that point?
So there's a wild card. A fucking crab came on the show.
God damn.
Crab just gets, you know, invited during round two. You weren't here for what I was here for, crap. Yeah. Like, fuck off.
You haven't been through the mud.
Even like, bro, I was having issues with Piglet. another contestant.
Anybody press you at all? Like,
me and the Piglet were going at it a little bit. I ripped up a picture of him in the beginning of my performance. Like,
you should have huffed and puffed. It really scares the shit out of those guys.
Nice. I give you an air five for that one.
I asked the producers. I said, yeah, you guys ever had beef on this show? They're like, nah. I go, let me go at Piglet a little bit. So I manufactured some beef for fucking Piglet.
You're starting drama on this show, bro?
Bro, I'd walk by his show. I'd be like, you go down. All the cast would be like, yo, shh. Like, no one can hear your voice, right? Because I didn't mention anywhere you go. When you're performing this show, not only can you not tell anyone, as you guys know, anywhere you go, they give you an outfit to wear with a full mask. You cannot see through. Your wrist cannot be showing. You're wearing gloves, not a piece of skin. Can't say a word to anyone. The anonymous nature of this, they take it so seriously because it is everything. And it was liberating to be in a costume because, man, talk about not caring. Talk about really being able to fully just be yourself, which was really cool. I think you'll even notice after I got eliminated, they made me perform my song without my mask on to like close out the show.
Wow.
And it sucked. It sucked. But in my costume, I'm like, oh, I give a damn. All right. Like, I'm going crazy. And then at the end, I was like, yo, like, fuck this. I just lost. I don't feel good. I feel like a fucking loser.
I understand why you feel good because everybody sings in their bedroom. Pretending like you're in front of everybody, but nobody's watching. And you literally fucking performed in front of everybody without them watching. So like I think that's why it's cool.
Yeah.
It's interesting to see you go back into into like entertainer mode, man. Like on some actual celebrity produce type shit. Like the shit you used to do when you were doing Baywatch and you were doing Thinning and you were doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's so interesting because if you think about it, the thing that got me started, you know, making content on YouTube, I'm doing the least of now.
Which is that, you know, self-driven kind of self-produced content. Vlogger content, Vine, that kind of stuff, right? But I think you were built for this. I think you were built for this kind of stuff, man. Like you can tell just in that little video he made. He's got that like actual mainstream Hollywood type shit. You know what I'm saying? Like you can tell. I mean, pull that video back up. He's got the vibe that thing, bro. The girls in the background are all laughing and he takes it so seriously. It's like a craft to him, you know? And it's cool to see him back in that space because he's been out of it for a long time.
Speaking of, is there going to be a Thinning 3? Because the second one was great.
I don't know.
I really liked it.
I hope so. Yeah. I hope so. I can't wait to do another movie soon. But yeah, that show was a lot of fun. Thanks for having me on. It like you're saying, it's cool to get back into Hollywood, big macro performances. WWE next.
Crazy. All at the same time, it feels like, and then Floyd, and
yeah,
it's just a lot, man. It's a lot of
Well, you know, that's how life works, man. Like momentum. I've talked about this theory before. Like momentum is the most powerful force in the universe.
Yeah,
momentum equals mass times velocity.
What's in motion stays in motion.
That's inertia. Yeah. And so what's the mass of the project and how fast you're going and can you keep that up? So yeah. I'm Logan Paul and I'm Grandpa Monster. Finally, I can say it. Okay, what else we got?
Man, I mean, bro, listen, dude. I'm gonna just say this right now. Are we doing this Dobrik shit or what, dog? Like, here's the thing, man. It's old. It's current. It's relevant.
When all this comes out,
it's coming out Thursday, right? So like, people want. You know, our reaction. I'm sure people definitely want to hear what Logan has to say about all of it. The video of you giving that infamous warning to David, you know, hundreds of episodes back has come back to fruition, has been posted, you know, thousands of times. Man, I think the last time we talked about this or the last time we mentioned it, this was a story that was heating up. And it was almost something that we didn't even really want to talk about because it seemed like it was going to be a non-story with the Nash thing and the kiss. And boy, did it boil into something that is a massive fucking deal, dude.
I think Gabby's jumping into this now, too. She's, like, wanting to
start some shit.
Talk about
she's
it.
She's been tweeting some shit like she. I would take them as threats. Like she's saying, like, oh, I'm gonna go to court. I'm excited about this.
Who knows? It's all speculative for now.
And as this episode comes out, we do have a. An episode that we filmed with Jeff Witek, which now feels slightly out of context and missing pieces. And so, I mean, I don't really know exactly how to approach this topic, how, you know, what you want to talk about, what you don't want to talk about, but it is definitely, I was having firsthand watched, you know, the Tokyo situation, thinking to myself, man, this is as big of a downfall as it gets. This David Dobrik situation is quite the rival. I mean, this has been a wild fucking ride for the past couple of weeks / month here.
I'm biting my tongue because juggling a few things here. I'll just speak what I'm thinking. I'm juggling a few things here in protecting the sanctity of the relationship I have with David, because he is a friend, and I want him to
get better.
Just take accountability and understand, really understand the situation. But also, I don't think it should fall to the wayside. And I do have opinions on this. I kind of voiced on Twitter a little bit what I was thinking, because coming from someone who has been there and has been down and out, like,
yeah, this tweet kind of blew up.
Yeah. So it was late at night, and I wrote this. I wrote, in 2017, I couldn't get out of my own way. I made mistake after mistake and was condemned, rightfully so, by the world. I remember how dark it felt back then. I embarrassed myself and my family, was blacklisted by every platform and brand. Close friends and peers turned their backs on me. It felt like the end of the road. 4 years later, I've come to realize that these blunders, followed by my willingness and enthusiasm to truly change for the better, were the most pivotal moments of my life. I'm grateful that I had the opportunity to learn, transform, and continue doing what I love. Our generation will be marked by its ability to hold others accountable, but reformation will not work when we, as a society, refuse to accept a genuine change. For those who've had a moral lapse, trust the journey that is progression. And for those upholding accountability, when the time is right, allow yourselves to forgive. Otherwise, I believe our denial of individual growth rejects one of the most important values that make us human. And I think that value is acceptance. If you are so shut off to the idea of someone being able to improve and change, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
It's making mistakes. It's such a human... It's so human of us. Like no one walking around on this planet is perfect. Granted, there are levels to this shit, but I think if you're completely shut off to the idea of giving people an opportunity to take responsibility for their actions, learn from them, and continue progressing, you've immediately lost. And that's all I was trying to say here. I don't want to speak on this too much, because it isn't my deal. I just hope everyone involved does realize the gravity of the situation and is, like I consider myself to be back then, enthusiastic and willing to both learn and progress from the situation. I think otherwise you're going to lose right off the bat. And for everyone watching on the wayside, like, sure, take your digs now, make your assumptions and assessments, but allow yourselves to forgive when the time is right. That's all I ask, and that's all I'll say.
All right. So yeah, Witek episode bagged up. And we'll release. You know, he I guess a lot of the vlog squad was either rightfully or for whatever reason dragged into this as well, and you know, people can say whatever they want about that, but it's been quite the debacle. And it doesn't feel like a part of internet cancel culture. It doesn't feel like there's a cancellation here. It feels like there's an actual there was an actual crime committed here.
I feel like a little bit of both. It's hard for me to even like talk about this because I'm honestly confused on the whole situation. I feel like it's a shit sandwich where it's like some truth, a lot of shit, mm-hmm. and then some truth again. And mm-hmm. then, so like when you bite into the sandwich, you don't know what the fuck is happening.
It's very blurry. I mean, the situation, go ahead.
I saw some like, TikTok videos. If you go see David, there's like people like that were hunting for like videos of him slipping up on anything. And at this point it's like, all right, honestly, if I had to say anything, it's like, okay, whoever has sinned not cast the first stone. At what point are we just being like, I want people to still correct wrong, but at what point are you just trying to kill somebody?
I think there's a sport right now in hunting those at the top. I think that sport has always existed.
Been there. Yeah.
I think, you know, they say a heavy lies the crown, right? And
yeah.
There's always somebody gunning for you, you know, especially as you start to assume that, you know, macro king position. And this individual circumstance seems to be one of the scenarios where it's justified, right? And it seems like there's a real victim slash victims here, and they need to be vindicated, and there needs to be justice for the wrongdoings, right? But on the same topic, shit is, as you said, very fucking blurry, bro. Anytime you walk this line between entertainment and lifestyle, entertainment and real life, which is where we all exist. That's why really? Your hair looks
what are you saying?
Massive today.
You
actually look like a fucking feline.
Your hair is so high.
It's massive.
How many inches? How many inches do you think, Mike?
12. I mean, it's this. 12, your 13? Hair is like this length of. What I was getting at is this, dude. It's a very dangerous line that some of us walk between real life and entertainment. And so David is currently burning as a result of things he said that he may have been saying to be applicable to content he thought he was creating as entertainment, which are now becoming applicable to real life wrongs, i.e. the we're all going to jail joke that he made at the end of the fucking vlog episode.
Was that?
Who knows, dog? What I'm saying is this: like, who knows? Like, that's a joke that any one of us would have made.
Yeah,
I'd be. But we're all going to jail.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody said
everybody.
That.
If you're walking that line.
Yeah.
And so this is a very and this is not me justifying. This is not me saying anything around who's wrong, who whatever. All I'm saying is the ability to look back. They say hindsight 2020, to look back and make everything applicable to one real life wrong. It gets real easy to make somebody look like a piece of fucking dog shit, dude. When you go back and pick apart content after somebody makes a mistake, man. And so it seems like that's what's happening now. And you got this pile on, dude. And it's sad, bro. Listen, it's sad to see. It really is. It's sad to see. If you're a person out there and you're watching this episode or you're making TikToks and you're rooting on someone's downfall and you're sitting there and I mean, that's a sad fucking existence, dog. That's a sad fucking existence. I don't mean
I have to. I have to.
I mean really rooting. Like, yo, that's the most successful person. I don't like the fact that person's successful,
but bro,
dude.
Bro, you're talking about a hard R rate.
Oh, hold on a second. No. Like I said.
What are you talking about? Because it is sad to see until you consider the circumstance and you go.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Yeah, no.
Every ounce of sadness that I had is allocated to the victim.
No, 100%.
So I hear you, right? Because also, I agree. It sucks. It fucking sucks. But there's a very specific thing here where my sadness hits a fucking 100%. Peak.
100%. Dom, or you know, just
can I say
Dom needs to be held accountable. There's no question about it. You know what I'm saying? Like if it's found that David, you know, facilitated in some way, he needs to be held accountable. There's no question about that. All I'm almost. I'm almost parlaying into a larger conversation around the culture of just trying to pull everybody down.
Okay.
I'm not even talking about the David. Okay. The David situation's fucking ugly, dude. There's victims and people need to fucking pay for it, dude. There's no question about that.
I don't know enough of this situation for me to ever give my opinion on it, because then it's just idiotic. Because I can't give my opinion on something I can't even piece together in my head. But the one thing I could take away from this is how you are behind closed doors and your behavior and your actions could surface. So like, if you feel in your soul what you're doing is wrong behind closed doors, yo, like, nobody's judging you at this point. Fix your shit.
Yeah, but my here's my question. That's subjective, right? That's what scares me because like,
it's not, bro. When I said that clip that went viral of me,
which one?
Basically telling David like, I didn't just like say that because I felt some type of way, like. I really meant that.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, that wasn't like a guess, man.
No, I know. But he was acting, bro. David was exhibiting a lot of signs of that better than thou attitude that you called him out on. And so I'm not even talking about that, but I just mean if we start to be extremely cautious of how we act and what we say simply because someone may be offended by what we do or say behind closed doors. I still believe it to be a very slippery slope, dude, because I'm gonna be honest, dude. People out there just want to be mad, dog. And once again, I say separating the Dobrik situation from it. Motherfuckers want to be mad, dude.
Okay, so let them be mad.
You're right, and that's where I've landed because now Dobrik's got to fix his shit. Dom's got to get justice, whatever, right? But like, these creators out there that are under the gun, man, you've got to realize that no matter what you do, people are going to be mad. The one thing that matters, there's two things that matters. Do you have fans that are riding with you? That are fucking with you, that are sticking by your side against all the bullshit? And number two, how do you feel when you look in the mirror? At the end of the day, that's the biggest fucking thing, dude. And I think if David looked in the mirror right now, he knows now. He knows now he's got changes to make. Right?
Well, he knows now, he has changes to make. I also realized this in hindsight because I spoke to someone who kind of had a back and forth with when I was going through my tumultuous times. True change takes a while.
Oh yeah. Like
you might know right off the bat, like I need something needs to change, but it took me 3 years. I'm still like learning. Like I wouldn't say I'm like out of the woods just yet, but I'm still like learning from that whole experience. Like it takes
out of the woods.
Oh, what?
Damn, man. Get the fuck out of there. You got to get out of there.
I got
to
get out.
You need to leave.
Leave those words.
True change, you know, on a character level, where you got to alter the way you think.
Atomic. It's like some atomic.
It's hard. It's hard. That's why.
Goku autonomous.
That's why these apology videos, I mean, like, why do apologies come in twos? I even had an apology that came in twos. First one, was written by me, and I was like, and I had no fucking idea. Like, there was zero accountability taken. I couldn't comprehend it because it doesn't happen overnight. Like, true change takes a fucking minute. And I think in order for that to happen, we're gonna need to patiently wait and watch over the next couple of years. But
I mean, what's next?
Well, I believe David will make it out of it. I said this when Shane Dawson had his thing. Like, there ain't no coming back. You done. It's over. David will come back. He'll be.
But
back.
He's got to learn, improve,
and get extremely, extremely creative with what he's making. Because I believe any sort of vlog squad based group camaraderie content in the style that is David Dobrik vlogs will come with a little bit of a bad taste when people
bro,
are watching
because it. Think about it for a second, dude. Like, although you've been anointed, knighted, cured, Logan Paul, the sweetheart of Hollywood.
Depends who you ask.
That conversation and Logan Paul making content that somehow touches upon death, it still tastes weird.
I agree.
You know what I'm saying? And so what I'm saying is this. David's content has been sexually driven and charged in nature since its inception.
Oh, I
like,
see. Oh,
and so it's
yeah.
like, it's like, damn, like your content was not based in death. That was a one-time thing. And so for you to pivot know, away but, from no, that but was easy.
But even when like my animals would die, right?
There's always something. And so my question is just like, you know, will people be willing to allow him to re-enter with content that touches on tones of sexuality and hookups and stuff like that now he's been marked?
He's got to get creative. Dude, I was blessed. Shout out KSI, like for real. And I'm so thankful that I had the opportunity to literally fight my way back up. Literally, dude, I'm fighting to try to change me and try to earn a spot back in what I wanted to be back with my peers in a respectable way. And I did so through boxing, and it was like a nice career pivot that really helped me find out who I was and become a person I really loved. And it was a bit of a cheat code for me. Not a cheat code, but it worked.
George is pissed, dude.
I'm heated right now. No, I'm not mad. I was pondering this because I'm rooting for David, and a lot of people are gonna get mad about
hell
this.
Yeah.
But I root for everyone.
Bro, he's a fellow human.
I
dude,
want everyone
that, like,
to figure out what they're doing and be at their best. Like everybody. Like I really truly with all my heart want everybody to succeed. So if this is a learning curve for him or whatever. But career-wise, I was sitting there with my girlfriend and I said the one difference, both decisions you guys made were like, had the world shocked, but one hurt somebody.
Yeah, yeah.
And one was just gross. Do you get what I'm saying? Like there was a victim in one and then there was no victim in the other one. So that's my play on it. And then also your content.
Asterisk. There was no victim as, I don't want to like marginalize my blunder,
family,
but there was no victim as a result. That's not even true. Yeah, they were victims.
The family,
they were
just, victims. But also, you want to know?
But I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying.
It's weird how
also, and there's a part two to it. Your content did a revolve around it.
Yeah.
So that's the two. This the two double nail. But again, I think he grew out of it. And it was like this more family channel thing where he's giving people cars, making people happy. So he was on this Oprah Winfrey shit. So hopefully if he comes back, he could do to that. I don't know. I want to see him have his late night show and move on. Didn't Mike Tyson have a situation that was...
Well, Mike Tyson...
Wait.
No, he...
Please brief
the phone. Hold on.
Which
also,
one? You sent me seven.
I want to be cautious with that too.
The shortest one.
Yeah. Right. And please, God, don't let... I don't want anybody to think that I think the actions were okay. No. Not at all. I will out loud say that shit.
Here's the quote. Your product is your persona, and if the public is angry, they're canceling both the person and the product.
Go down, it's from a doctor.
From a doctor. Yeah. Dr. Joanne
Broder.
Yeah, I mean, obviously.
No, but it's different than an actor or Mike Tyson, because you're buying into the personality you're watching every day.
So you're saying David's bit cloud won't go up. That's what you're saying?
He's saying it's a dip. Buy now.
Buy the dip. Right. Get yourself some Logan Paul coin though. Do yourself a favor. yeah. Okay. You want to move on? I mean, shit. We've been talking about it for a minute. Yeah. You know what I want to talk about?
What do you got?
Pokemon.
No.
NFTs.
Please no. Jake Paul, Ben Askren. Whoa.
Oh shit.
Whoa.
That was so funny. I've never seen a comeback like this in my life. It was like the whole time I was like, Jake's dominating. At the end, Ben took that
Took that little strike, little fucking, I'll see you later, kitty cat. I'll see you later, kitty cat. And I'm going to turn around this way and I'm going to pet the kitty cat and walk away. And I was like, no.
Bro.
But I will admit that little, he had like a quick little, but then KSI made a video where he slapped his ass, dude. It's just the,
bro, this is the moment you're talking about. So the whole press conference, Jake's got an uphill battle anytime, like anything he does is public in this way, like a press conference. Like, I know Jake, and like I thought some of the stuff he was saying was funny, and I was thoroughly entertained because that's why I watch these. I just want to be fucking entertained, bro. Like, let's hear like people say some dumb shit, slip up on their words, and make the other person or try to anyways look stupid. And I was watching, and I thought Jake had some funny things that made me laugh.
He got fucking Masvidal on the fucking.
He got Masvidal on the like that was funny. That was funny. He replayed Ben getting knocked out for 10 seconds straight, like that was funny. But no matter what Jake does, yo, Twitter's like, yo, fuck this, he's drunk. Like the kid just can't win.
It's just also really tough to be that guy, dude. You know what I'm saying? Like that incessant, you know, fly. Of especially when you're up against somebody as like sweet as Ben Askren. You know what I'm saying?
We shot
it's
our
just
episode.
Really, I'm just saying Jake has it's made tougher by that for Jake to be that asshole character that he plays when you're up against that guy. When you're up against
We had Ben Askren on the show. The episode's coming out. It's a good fucking episode. We did a good, really good job.
When is it fucking, by the way, when's it coming out?
Tomorrow.
No, what is it? April 10th. Can we just fucking say, because every fucking comment
we did a good job of roasting him, giving him a platform to talk about his really exciting and interesting life, and trying to be impartial. Like
I said, it looks like he punches in a dream when he punches.
Yeah. But you know, I called Jake. I said, you did a good job, but it almost is like everything was overshadowed
by that push.
By this moment.
I think the push is the thing we're not talking about most. I mean, Ben Askren's a goddamn tree, dog.
He thick?
He's thicker than a Snickers, bro.
Well,
boy
took him out on the podcast. It wasn't that
cut
that
the was shit,
funny.
Georgie.
That was funny.
That guy is rooted deeply into the soil. Ohio soil, soil. Wisconsin soil, yeah. Bro. He's immovable.
Yo, he's also, I gotta say, when he came out here, he's like, I have a genius level IQ. I was like, okay, maybe. Now I'm starting to think, yo, is he playing all of us? Do you know how much clout this dude is getting off of this? His tweets are flying right now. He even snapped back at Jorge Masvidal, and the tweet got like 40 to 50,000 favorites. He's like, Jorge, I've waited 2 years to say this. You got lucky with the knee, and I made you famous. Kamaru's gonna beat your ass again. And like people are like, yeah! Like, yo, Ben Askren is fucking capitalizing
on
this situation.
He dropped the Rocky video.
That also
well-produced
crazy.
Rocky video.
God bless it. It's tough. You gotta win this fight,
Jake. It's all good training for Jake, man. He's got it's you know, this is the kind of stuff he's in with real boys now, man.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's listen, you know, one little mistake once again or slip up or whatever you want to call it, it's not gonna fucking derail the JP train, bro. He's got Masvidal. He got Soulja Boy taking shots at him again. Soulja Boy talking about getting that Draco, bro.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, we're not even. Yeah, probably not even.
Nah, but.
I heard, speaking of getting upset, I heard that singer kid got mad at me on a podcast.
Really?
Who?
The guy who gave you his chain.
Oh, Andrew. Aaron Carter.
Andrew Clapton.
Did you guys watch this? How come nobody told me about this?
Nah, I don't watch that shit, dude.
I didn't watch it either, but somebody came up to me at the party. They're like, yeah, bro, he didn't have nice things to say about you. I go, I've never met the guy in my life. And then I remembered. When I did that video, I kept saying his name because I would just remember a pop star from back in the day. And so I was roasting him.
He's a pop star, not a doctor. I mean, you know, this kid, who's to say where he's living?
I thought we got along. I like candy. He likes candy. I thought we had some things.
I'll give you an air five on
thanks,
that one.
Thanks, man. I have some one line zingers.
Yeah, they're really rocking, dude.
How about Sean O'Malley?
Yo, shout out.
Whoa.
Bro, let's walk through the fights real quick.
God, there was so much that happens since we've been here.
Yo, Sugar Sean O'Malley, the Sugar Show, put some respect in that boy's name. That man is making fast moves, bro. And there's only one word I want to apply to that man. Unconventional.
Ooh,
bro.
Unorthodox.
Unorthodox. You don't know what you're gonna get. He's like a bag of Skittles, bro. He's like a bag of fucking Skittles.
You know, and I don't even get a bag of Skittles.
You don't know what color you're
in. You don't know you poured out. Yeah. You don't know.
I feel like that was a stretch.
No, because even his hair. I thought it
was a double entendre, Georgie. Everything about the dude is unconventional. And he tried to, even his finishing is a little sweet. He said, I'm going to let this dude fade out. I'm not going to finish him. He gave him one chance. He said, yo, I'm going to let you.
He was going for the walk-off KO, which is dangerous.
We all thought he had it. He did.
He had it, right? And
the ref didn't call it.
I was talking about the first one.
Yeah,
remember, he had two walk-off KOs. The ref didn't call the second one.
Right.
And I'm pretty sure I watched like an 18th century execution.
Yeah, yeah. It's called, for people who don't know, it's called the coup de grace.
Oh, bro, I'm
that's called
goosebumps.
The coup de grace.
He walks up. Like, we all knew what was coming, man.
How did they not stop
him? He walks airborne, fist. Boom! Nearly decapitates another human.
First, third round decapitation.
And the commentator goes, you know, maybe the ref should have stopped it. Yeah. Yeah, you don't say.
I didn't even want to see. I don't even think he wanted to do that. No. He looked like he was ready to go home and play some Warzone.
If you remember,
bro.
He went like this to the ref, like, yo, what's good?
Yeah.
Now that guy only could drink smoothies right now.
For the rest of his life. He's got no mouth. And then he dropped back and dumped a fucking 3-point fade.
He made it. He made the shot.
Dogs, shout out Sugar Sean O'Malley, bro. He's next.
He's fun to watch. He's fun to watch.
I feel like he's a different version of McGregor. Am I the only one who feels this?
Yeah,
not in a bad way. Like in an entertaining, like we need this fucking guy in the UFC. Like,
yeah, well, before he lost his second last fight. Now
he rolled his ankle.
He tripped or something and fucked up his foot and it ruined the fight for him. And I remember watching. I was like, oh no! I believe I talked about it on this podcast. I was like, no, this dude was like the most promising fighter in the UFC, and I wonder if this loss would tarnish his brand a little bit. And
I think it was just a hiccup.
Well, when you especially when you come back with a win as good as this, you're like, oh no, he hasn't missed a beat. Like whatever happened to the last one, like doesn't even matter anymore.
Was this opponent a good opponent, or was it kind of like a warm up opponent?
He was a good opponent.
Okay. He hung in there.
I want to know, because if he was, because I didn't know about this gentleman.
No, he was tough.
Okay,
he was tough.
He dealt a couple blows, but it's just I don't think O'Malley's easy to figure out, man.
No, not at all.
He switches up his shit.
Well, that's what I'm getting at. He goes southpaw, you know, traditional stance. He's all over the place. He's a really strong fighter.
I think it's so funny how not funny, interesting, how like these fighters with like he doesn't look like he has muscle on him, right? He just really has long arms, and he hits so hard. It's like all of his strikes are like fucking arrows. And he's precise. He's got, in that way, he's similar to McGregor. He's precise. Like, he'll hit you right on your button. There's three. He'll find them, exploit them, and then you're fucked.
I mean, that short left, he just about ended the fight with. It was so fast. It was like, I didn't even see it. It didn't seem like a power.
He's exciting.
He was well-rounded.
Let me ask you something.
Is it about Tyron Woodley?
I don't want to talk about that, man.
Who's man. George, he made things even worse, man.
Who is that? I'm bad with names. I might know.
Just
who
that is. Question that you asked at that moment. It just unfortunately fit into the storyline.
Fit in,
bro. I'm just gonna say this. I love Tyron.
Like, I know who you're talking about.
I'm gonna train with him, bro. We text. He came on this podcast. Hasn't won a round since. Yeah.
That's the guy that we watched.
He's the only guy. Every other fighter we have on the podcast comes. They fucking kick ass. Tyron came out and he's lost every single round since. And it sucks because like I was rooting for him in this fight as well. And he rocked his opponent. And you thought for a sec, like, yo, maybe Tyron's gonna get that W he hasn't gotten in so long. And then he just got clocked. And then somehow for the longest time was absolutely unconscious and somehow was still stumbling around the ring. Like he was knocked out. Yeah. And then
I'll show a picture of him. Sorry.
Yeah, I'll show a picture of him. Damn. Yeah, it was.
Oh, yep, I remember this.
Yeah, he was the I think it was the second last fight, and it's crazy because you know this is. He was the best welterweight in the world. He's got clocked. I just feel like he's maybe had a series of
bad luck, but at what point is it not bad luck anymore? I don't know, dude.
You know what they need to do? I'll tell you what they need to do. In between the fights, they need to take a regular human being that knows how to fight. There's just a regular, fight him against UFC, because we watch this shit and we're like, oh, I could get in there. And it's like, motherfucker, get in there. Get up against
George,
this
I'm
going to
be honest
guy.
With you. When I watch those fights, I never have that thought.
I always have that thought. I'm like, put me in there.
I do.
Me too, dude. I'm always like, come on,
against
come
the guys in
yeah,
the-
Yeah, bro. It's fucked all up. All right.
So let me ask you this question.
Yes.
One last fight to talk about.
The best one.
Did you think about the fireman? Fight against either of those
You
want to
fight Ngannou? Who?
Fireman?
Oh, you want to fight Francis?
Not fireman. The winner, man.
You know what? I'm going to be honest. Because of his story, for him to have the belt and have his whole country just go crazy, I'd have him beat my ass.
Listen, any time of the week. Listen, man.
Would you fight him for $1 million?
No. I'll fight anybody for $1 million. Listen, let me ask this question.
Yeah.
Who's challenging? Who's challenging that man, bro?
That's what you said after he won. You said, who beats him?
Who beats
I think David does.
John Jones.
No, nope.
It looks like. But
nope.
But are they saying that fight's gonna happen or no?
I don't know if it'll happen.
Regardless of it happening, he cannot beat him.
Ngannou will win.
Wait, they're not doing a rematch?
I love John Jones.
They might, but I don't know that they should, man. Listen, that dude, for a man that size, should not be moving that quickly, bro.
Right.
Bro, it's crazy.
Extremely fast.
Stipe Miocic, the potentially the best heavyweight of all time. He's defended his belt more than anyone in the UFC. Was being thrown around like a ragdoll.
No. He could make no substantial approach.
The part where they had like a little ground action, Stipe looked like he weighed 70 pounds. Mm-hmm. I was literally like, what the fuck am I watching? And then Francis, do you know he's been training for 5 years? He started when he was 29.
Wild.
Everyone else in this league has been training for
their whole life. Look at his size. Do you think he needed to train? You think the guy in front of the 7-Eleven that called him an asshole coming out, he needed to train to beat him up?
Dude.
I don't think so.
So when you have a guy who, because the last time they fought, Stipe won.
That's what I'm saying.
But when you give someone 2 years to improve, and especially because there's an arc, right? Like first year you get a little better, second year you're a little bit, third, fourth year, now you're starting to get those exponential gains. And he probably hit that in between his first fight with Stipe and this fight. And
I still would put my money on Stipe.
Again for a third fight?
Yeah, dude, he's my boy.
Wait,
I don't know.
What?
There's something about him, bro.
You're wacky, bro.
Yeah, what are you
talking about? And
I think he just had a slip up.
I'm from Cleveland, bro. I love Stipe. Like Stipe's a friend. I just think, like, even before this fight started, I bet on him. But I said, I'm scared for Stipe.
I'll put money on him next time.
I probably will, too, because I love Stipe. But
another thing. A fight's a fight, bro. Like you wake up and you don't want to vlog one day, and you're like, I don't want to do this. Imagine waking up and trying to fight a motherfucker and you don't want to work that day.
That sucks.
Wait, did Stipe say that he was having
he's such a humble loser.
I'm just saying, man, like, this was not a... This to me seemed like a decisive battle, man. Like Logan, and I don't know. Tell me if you agree with this. This didn't seem like it wasn't Stipe's day. This seemed like a one fighter out fighting another fighter, man.
He doesn't look picture.
I'm not, dude. We've seen Stipe fight so many times. He's an incredible fighter, but this dude Francis is special, man.
Could you do me a favor? Take look at this, and then go to his other fight and see. I saw a dramatic difference in his body. I don't think he was training as hard for this fight.
No, he probably was. I mean, bro, you also got to consider, like, Stipe's getting older. I think he's 42.
He's 42 years old?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, you got to know when to hold him and fold him. And he's had such a crazy career with, you know, 2 wins over Daniel Cormier and regarded as, like, one of the best heavyweights of all time. Maybe I'm wrong, but, like, I probably would have called it.
You pull up his hair. His
hair defies gravity.
And honestly, like I think it's worth noting. I don't know if this had something to do with it, but he had real bad hat hair, dude.
Yeah,
it looked like before he came out, somebody backstage had rubbed his head with a balloon animal. You know what I'm saying? Like
that is so funny.
Do you know what I'm saying? And had just fucking or he had rubbed his feet on a shag carpet.
He looks like an adult, you know what I'm saying? An adult 6-year-old.
Yeah, his hair. It was almost like, hey. Like I wanted to call him Billy.
Yeah.
Billy, how'd your hair get like that? You're at your fucking grandma's 86th birthday, Billy. Your hair looks fucking stupid. Why is it standing up like that?
Okay. I got a call with
Yahoo Finance. Check it out, boys.
Yahoo Finance?
Turns out I'm good at making money.
2006?
Stop.
What the fuck are we doing with Yahoo?
George.
What's the that? Yo, who has that? Dude, you trust somebody who's like, yeah, email me. It's georgejanko at yahoo.com. Get the fuck out of my face.
Yahoo was going to buy Twitch, and then they backed out.
You know why? Because it's Yahoo.
Yo, you should hit me on my Hotmail account, Dylan, later.
That one I'm out. Okay.
Hotmail?
I don't want to stop. It's kind of on the same page. Hey, listen, Yahoo. I don't want to stop, and I know you got to go. It's just, it saddens me because this is the last one.
Ever.
Like, not, no. But I'm just saying, now this is the, I mean, it could be. It
oh,
could
I see.
Be,
yeah, because there's a lot of, yeah, I'm
well,
I'm,
you're going
I'm gone
bopping around.
Yeah, I'm gone.
Bibbidi bop.
Bibbidi bop.
Do you want to hit 2 seconds of this? Where are you? So you're going, you're traveling around doing WWE
ready?
Shit.
Ready? Tampa, WWE. Miami, train with Jake. Back to Tampa for WrestleMania, WWE. Atlanta for Jake's fight. Maybe a little New York leg in there just for shits and gigs.
Yep.
Puerto Rico, training to beat the best fighter on the planet, which I fully intend to do and fully believe I will. So I might be gone for 2 months. Sorry.
How long are we bagged up for on Epps?
The middle of April.
That's fucking couple weeks from. I mean, we're fucked.
No, we're not fucked.
Well,
we're,
so what?
Taking a fight before the fight anyway.
Yeah, we'll do it. I might do a little run and gun app with Jake in Miami if either of you are interested in.
Well, yeah, obviously
doing something like that. A little impulsive on the go.
You gotta. You just gotta let me know.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm done.
And then when I'm in PR, come visit.
Film
huh?
Some episodes down there.
When I'm fighting, not yet. I have an idea, but I'm done saying, bro, it's fucking Floyd Mayweather. And also, like what the fuck, dude?
It's not happening. Just imagine start rumors. It's not happening.
No,
I don't know what to tell you guys.
No, it's happening. He promised me. And he said it publicly. Like, it's fucking happening.
All right, so
the contract is signed. The 50-page contract is signed. They're just, like, waiting on dates. I don't fucking 49. Know.
All right. If we have to for a fucking episode, we could do a fucking
We'll be fine. Don't even worry about it.
I'm just
I gotta go. I gotta go talk to Yahoo Finance.
Hit that subscribe button. Thank you guys for listening, watching, viewing, subscribing, and hit that subscribe button.
Wait, are you guys friends? You guys never wrapped that up. Are you guys friends?
Yeah, it looks like it, man.
Wrapped it up.
Okay, I just want to make sure. So
yeah,
we can't
from this angle,
seats.
It looks like it, dude. All right, we love you. Bye. Oh, wait, it's my birthday.
Bye.
Happy birthday!